Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
Welcome to our podcast, Be You, Find Happy.
Real life conversations about life and the pursuit of happiness.
Sitting at the Sacramento airport on my way to San Diego right now, recording this intro. So I do apologize for the background noise, but I have to tell you guys today on the podcast, we have Jocelyn and Aaron Freeman, more commonly known as the Freemans. Tony Robbins calls them the new power couple. You have seen their stuff on Women's Health, Forbes magazine, and the Huffington Post. They are founders of the Empowered Couples University, and today they're going to talk to you all about how to be happy in your relationship. Check it out.
So I just want to start by saying thank you guys so much. I believe in universe synchronicities, and normally I take like 2 weeks to prepare for a guest. And today I took, 15 minutes, I think. But I'm really excited to have you guys on today. I feel like the topic is apropos and timely, and I was able to look at a lot of what you guys have going on, and I think that your message is super incredible for couples all around the world. So I just want to take a second and see if you guys could, and I assume I have both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, great. I'd love if you could just introduce yourselves, and then we can get into some of the questions that I've jotted down and a few more that I found after the fact as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Jocelyn Freeman here, and then
Aaron Freeman.
And it's okay if you forget our first names, because people mostly just remember us as the Freemans, and they actually say, oh, hey, Freeman. And so we are really, who we are is relationship work. I know that sounds kind of odd, but as like what our life purpose is, why we're here on the planet, what we live and breathe and eat is relationship growth. And that's something we're extremely passionate about. So we coach couples both privately and at events. We do workshops. We have a book, podcast, the Empowered Couples Podcast. But really, our whole mission is to teach couples the relationship skills that no one learned in school, right? None of us had relationships 101 in high school or college, and yet we all crave love. We crave being in a relationship, but we get in the relationship, and then what? We realize, oh, maybe I didn't learn the best things from my parents or movies. And so we really are passionate about teaching those relationship skills. But on a personal note, for those of you to just get to know us a little bit, when we aren't doing that work, you'll find us watching a movie. We love movies, or riding our bikes, golfing, hiking. We're very active. Anything else you want to add, Aaron?
Sounds good.
Oh, that's all so awesome. I love what you said about, you know, they don't teach, you know, couples communication, and it, you know, it's funny because they teach sex ed,
right?
but they leave out that whole, you know, communication and relationships part of everything, which, you know, I get it. But I was kind of chuckling at that when you said that. I was like, huh, maybe they should have a class like that in the, you know, basic education system.
Exactly.
Funny thing is, I asked people, how many of you would actually sign up for that? You know, probably most people wouldn't even sign up for that if it was an elective. And it's not really until you find yourself later in life in a relationship, realizing maybe some of the expectations that you built up, or, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to express what I'm feeling. How do I really listen? So it almost comes from a need or a pain once you're in a relationship, wanting to keep that moving forward. And we're really here to bring awareness to that you actually can sort of proactively, or even before you get into a relationship, build the skills necessary to have a powerful, connected relationship from the get-go. And so again, yeah, maybe not too many people have signed up for it because it seems like counseling or therapy, but people want to be great athletes, great in business, great in their health and fitness. And now it's about time people get the skills to be great in relationships.
I love that. And even I know for me, when I see couples, it's because something's not working. Something is fatally going wrong or has gone wrong. Especially when I see individuals, it's usually post a relationship. So how great that you guys are teaching these skills before, you know, before Armageddon.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first question that I saw this on your website, I think, and I was just so intrigued by this that I don't know if it's appropriate to start out with, but I'm really curious. You talk about the 7 habits of highly connected people. Do you think that would be a good place to start? Would you guys be willing to share maybe 1 or 2 of those?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we could share so many habits because we do believe that really what couples are missing are a certain skill or a habit, and our habits make up our life, right? And our habits make up our relationship. And a lot of times couples will say, I just don't feel as connected anymore, or they're just not listening to me. I don't feel like they're understanding. Our intimacy isn't as good. And it's likely because of breakdown or a lack of some type of habit.
Can I quote you?
Oh, go ahead and quote
me. It's great when you can quote your partner, right? Jocelyn came up with this the other day. She said, if you really think about it, chemistry is what brings you together, but it's your habits that keep you together.
Mm, yeah, ooh, that's good. I forgot I said that.
That is great. Yeah.
So getting into some habits, I mean, definitely even going, I love one of the themes of your podcast about authenticity and authenticity as an individual. And of course, we're talking about authenticity in the relationship. So I would say one habit is authentic communication. And what we notice, especially as life gets busier and people are multitasking and you've got so many distractions coming your way, even good distractions like kids, like your health, your career. But a lot of times that we don't give the time to have authentic communication with our spouse. And we say people are having these drive-by conversations, right? Just, oh, I'm running out the door to a meeting, but I'm going to try and tell you something really important. Or even in bed, the last 5 minutes before you're so asleep that your eyes are closing and closing and your spouse is just now trying to connect with you. That's kind of a drive-by conversation as well. And so a habit of setting intentional time to have authentic conversations and not the, how's your day been? How'd that meeting go? What do you need to get done today? Hey, by the way, can you stop here and get this? More of, how are you really? How do you feel? How's the week felt to you? You know, what's your experience of life? What's a dream you really have right now? Is there anything that is making you feel upset or frustrated or fearful right now?
Really, ready for a possible confronting question?
Yeah.
What's your experience of me as a partner right now?
They're an authentic check-in, absolutely. So definitely the first one related to your podcast theme is authentic communication. And that's a habit. And really a function of feeling not connected is likely because you haven't had connecting conversations. So I'll pause there. That's the first one we can go into.
Literally, like my next question on my list was, how can you be true to you or stay authentic and how can you show up honestly? So there's so much here I want to dive into. On that note, I was thinking tangibility wise, I recently kind of scoured the internet for great questions to ask your kids. And I like printed them on a piece of paper and put them in a little slip cover and I keep them tucked in between my center console and my seat. And when I pick up my son from school, I'll pull it out and ask him one instead of just like the classic, like, did you have a good day? It's really creative, fun questions to engage him on the way home since he's stuck in the car. So how do you recommend that people in a tangible way kind of have these, like, especially for people that maybe have never showed up authentically or have never had these kind of more in-depth conversations? What's a good way to start? Like, how would you recommend that they pick up that they pick up today with some ideas and get running with it?
Well, it's such a great question. And one of the things we had come up with a couple of years ago is a family meeting, and like businesses will have a check-in, right? Meetings on how they're doing in their performance. We thought, what would that look like for relationships? So you could actually think of breaking down your relationship into, you know, about 8 core areas, you know, really quick is like mind, body, spirit, finances, family, social life, sex and intimacy. So just to start there, and we actually have a worksheet where you have all of those areas listed out. And what you do is set time to sit down together. And what you do at first, which initially can be challenging, but you're sitting down and saying, okay, we are committed to being the best couple we can be, being more connected, being on the same page. And all too often as partners, we assume that we know the level of satisfaction in each of these areas or just in relationship in general of our partners. And so often it's just not that way. So you sit down with this family meeting intentionally, say this is a safe space for both of us to share what's really there for us. And then you go through each area and you say from a scale of 1 to 10 being the highest, what is your current level of satisfaction in this area, in our intimacy, in our finances, in our social life? So you go through each of those, and then you also write, what is our intention or goal in this area? Or how can this become a 10 for each of us? So that's a great way just to open up the conversation, start to bring some awareness into an area where, you know, maybe I thought our social life was a 10 out of 10. And I thought that's where Jocelyn was too, but she may say, you know what, I'm really at like a 4. And so just to kind of get on the same page, because if you want to grow or be more connected, the number one thing is you have to know where you are now.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that is so true. Kind of along those lines. So one of the things I hear a lot in my practice, at least from individuals who are struggling in their relationships, is that they've lost themselves. So they haven't stayed authentic to themselves while in the relationship. How might you encourage incorporating dialogue with your spouse about who you really are, so that you are showing up in an authentic way and having those authentic conversations?
Yeah, I love that. I want to answer it in a couple different ways, and it may be slightly different than what you mean, but I'd say, first off, checking out the expectations that you have of yourself in the relationship. And what I mean is, a lot of times we'll sit down with a couple and, you know, maybe they're feeling like their tank is low, both personally, their relationship. And one person is saying, oh, I just feel like I'm playing all roles for you. I just feel like I'm sacrificing myself and I'm tired and I don't feel like I'm getting quality time with myself. And the other person will say, well, you know, I actually didn't care if you cleaned the house every single night. And I didn't care if you made these or like really elaborate meetings that are meals, not meetings. That's not what matters to me. So a lot of times we actually have unrealistic expectations of ourselves because we're projecting that. A lot of times it's even coming from what we saw our parents do. So we maybe saw our mom or our dad act a certain way and we think, okay, that's what a spouse does. And so then we think we need to be that, when a lot of times that's not what the partner cares about. Aaron would rather have me feel like I'm in a great place. My energy is good. I'm cool, calm, and collected with him. I'm in a joyful place than me, you know, working extra hours.
Well, can I add one extra thing too? You're just a boss coach. You know, Jocelyn is so committed to individuals, not only being their best self, but being the best partner. So she is the best coach I know. She has bold conversations. She's not afraid to have confronting conversations. And ultimately, that's who I want you to be. So if Jocelyn was like assuming that I wanted dinners and she was focusing on the house being clean, it's like, I wouldn't want that anyway. And I want you to live your and express your genius of being a great coach.
Thank you, hubby. I appreciate that. And I'll add to you, I'm blushing now. I'll add as well, a big thing I had to overcome in my past relationships when I actually had some toxic beliefs about relationships was, I will get more love if I sacrifice myself. If I sacrifice my own needs and my own energy and my own cup, they'll love me more. And that's really not the right mindset. And in fact, we can push our partner away if we don't focus enough on our energy. So then kind of getting to even a little bit more hands-on, Aaron and I have made promises in our relationship that our mornings are time to fill our own cup. So we work out and we come back, we meditate or journal if we feel like that. We have that time before getting into activities. And so for you listening with your spouse, if you feel like you both have been sacrificing your own self-care, your own authenticity, it's probably just a function of you haven't blocked that time and made that a habit for yourselves. And I feel so much more authentic as a person and as a partner when I have that time to fill my cup, because you give from the overflow. So I know I took that probably a couple different ways than you expected, but that's what came to mind.
No, I was proud as a psychotherapist of the modeling that you guys did there with the little interjection and the, and then the, you know, the compliment and validation and acknowledgement. That was all really, really lovely stuff that I wish I saw more with, you know, with the work I even do with couples. I kind of chuckled at expectations because I'd love to think that I don't have any of my spouse and I, you know, want him to be the best version of himself, but, and all of that is absolutely true. But the reality is there's some days where I'm like, damn it. What is so hard about picking up your cup from the living room? You know what I mean? Like there are times where I do have an expectation of him because otherwise it's more work for me. And I think that's a space where seeds of resentment can start to build. How, what do you encourage couples when they're, when they do have expectations of each other and, you know, either checking their expectations at the door or communicating reasonably to get their needs met?
This is so great. I know Jocelyn has a great answer to this because it's a principle we teach in our couples workshop, which we do live, which is about disappearing disappointments by looking at your expectations and where they expressed or unexpressed. So maybe Jocelyn can share more on that. But I felt like your question was directed to me because I had this experience and I want to share this because it's like so real life and it's so exactly what you're talking about with the cup. So Jocelyn and I have been in a season where she is just in so much action, aligned action in our own business. And I've shared this with her, so she knows this. I found myself seeing a lot of dishes in the sink where I'm now thinking, why can't she just put that dish in the dishwasher? Like it's right there.
Right.
It's like clogging the sink. And it took a couple of days, but I started to feel like, oh, we are not balanced on how much each of us wash the dishes. Like it should be 50-50. Like this isn't fair. What I realized was, as you mentioned, the expectation building up. And I said, well, wait a second. Let me think about this for myself. Why would I be upset about these dishes? I said, because what has me feel good is a clean sink, is an organized kitchen, is when I come in here, it's all organized and clean. So I said, okay, what I like about having dishes cleaned is that, and that's for me. So I said, if I really enjoy seeing this sink clean and organized, then I just do it for myself. So I just started doing all the dishes and it didn't matter how many she did or how many I did or they went in the dishwasher. I did that because it had me feel good. It had me feel organized and I didn't need it to be anything more than that.
I was going to jump in as well. I think too, because I'm hearing it from a different, I love the practical example of the dishes because funny enough, that can actually be one of the triggers for people, right? The house. And that a lot of times we can actually measure our relationship based on a lot of these kind of house duties. And what I would just say, again, I might be taking this a little bit of a different direction, but really being authentic with our partner about what actually matters to us. So for Aaron and I, at least for myself, I'll speak, what matters to me is that Aaron listens to me, that he understands my emotions, that he'll still love me and show affection, even if I'm having a tough day. That's what matters to me. And I told him that from the beginning. And instead of thinking that what matters to me is the clean sink or bringing me home flowers or planning a romantic date night with candles, those are all bonus. But what really matters to me, and this is where I think couples can go even just deeper and be a little bit more authentic with themselves and each other, is what actually matters. Because I always say to couples, think about when you are 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 if you're going for that. And when you sit down and you're looking back as a couple, what will matter to you are those really genuine moments you had together. Those moments when you made eye contact and you opened your hearts to each other, when you held each other on a tough day, when you affirmed each other when one of you was doubting. Let me go run to Bed Bath & Beyond and Target. Let me make sure I'm making this lunch. And they're filling their time with all of these external things they're doing to, you know, again, kind of make their partner happy, or so they think. But I think just for couples to sit down and really authentically share with each other, like, what actually matters to us?
And in as you guys were speaking, I was jotting down so many more notes. But one of the things that I loved was I think, Aaron, you said, and I tried to write it quickly. I did it because it made me feel good. And I think that that is a really good way to look at these situations that we might get ourselves into. It's like, if my happy factor is high, then maybe I should just jump in and do it.
Mm.
And take out the resentment piece by making that decision for myself, right? Rather than for someone else. I really liked that. It got my mind thinking in all the different ways that we do things because we think someone else will feel good rather than ourselves.
Yeah, totally. You know, and it makes me think of one more thing, if I can add. We are never really upset for the reason we think we are. So as Jocelyn mentioned, like asking the question of why is this important to me, or even similar as we were talking about the dishes, why am I really upset about this? So none of us are really ever upset for the coffee cup being left out or the dishes piling up. Like there's something else underneath that that is more important. And for me, it was like with the dishwasher, I wanted to feel just like respected or acknowledged for work I had done in fixing it a couple of months ago. And so it was really just around like acknowledgement or just feeling like really appreciated. So just in the thread of this podcast and for the listeners that are looking for a way to have authentic conversations with your partner, it's just to share it just like that and say, you know, partner, I actually just realized that I found myself experiencing some disappointment or upset around these dishes. Yet when I really looked for myself, it had nothing to do with that. It's just that I wanted to feel, you know, more acknowledged. I wanted to feel like I'm really important to you. So in that case, you're sharing something that's much, you know, deeper and more meaningful. And you're also sharing from your own experience, not pointing the finger or blaming. And from that perspective, two people can just get on the same page. Jocelyn can learn more about what is important to me by my sharing. And then what the trap couples usually fall into is pointing the finger. You didn't pick up that cup. We're not washing the same amount of dishes, when it's never about that. You're not actually upset about that. What is the deeper thing that's important to you? And then what is it you can share from that perspective that allows the partner to know more about you? And then they can say, you know what? I want to be a part of that. I want you to know how much I do prioritize you and how much I do acknowledge the things that you do. And so now all of a sudden you go from like sort of two individuals kind of fighting over something or trying to get the other person to see your view to really being a we, being on the same page and understanding more about each other.
So good and so true. So unfortunately, a lot of people, I think, in this modern world of, you know, social media and different things, I think that maybe they've been unhappy in their relationship for a while, at least a lot of the clients that I see. And so rather than seeking out some of these things, when the going gets tough, they seek out someone else. And I wonder, you know, what do you offer in the way of relationships that are maybe in a space where there's been some emotional distractions by another person? How do you encourage people to show up honestly in their relationships when they are super unhappy?
Wow, that's a big question. Do you have a few hours to go?
Yeah, right. I know. Should we take a break and come back?
Right. Yeah. Okay. A couple places that we would go. Well, first off, I would say it's the mindset of committing to growth as opposed to committing to fixing, because that's a totally different context to enter into. So we can watch the behavior of a partner walk in and they are like, okay, let's fix us. Totally different demeanor, negative context, negative view, we're broken. And just
pointing the finger,
as opposed to the mindset of let's grow together. So I think we actually have this kind of tagline we're creating right now is 2019 was the year of personal development and 2020 is the year of relationship development. And we're saying to couples, it should be normal. There should be no shame. There should be no embarrassment. It is normal to learn things for your relationship, to work on your relationship. And I think that's a stigma we need to get over in our society, which I know you're championing for and we're championing for is, hey guys, this is a really powerful thing you're entering into, nothing to be embarrassed about. So I'd say first, the mindset of growing together and as a couple committing to that. So quick example of that, and then I'll share a second thing. There was a couple that just recently started coaching with us, and they both have done personal development and counseling separately. And they started with us, and one of the things that they really said was, you know, I think it'll just help us accelerate what we're dealing with to just have an outside voice, just kind of help mirror back to us the things that might be kind of blind spots to us. And that's, I think, just being humble and not feeling any kind of embarrassment to just want a third, well, we provide four people when the two of us are there with the couple, of just someone mirroring back, hey, this is what I'm observing. Hey, this is what you tend to do when you're upset. And that can really accelerate things. And then
I would even say like helping facilitate conversations, because if there's like unhappiness, then typically there's, you know, triggers that are bringing up past emotions. So it's really about having somebody that's going to be committed to your relationship, interrupt those patterns, whether it be communication or emotional triggers, to break the habits so that you can kind of notice, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? What is this trigger? And really pattern interrupt and put something in there that's going to be more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would even just say that if you go to your partner, so if one of you is listening and you feel like there's been some emotional hurt, like you've maybe hurt each other emotionally, you've said things you didn't mean to say, you've been not attentive with each other, so there's some damage, going to your partner and sharing what you're committed to. So here's two ways this could look. You could go to your partner and say, oh, we are terrible at this and we need to fix us. This isn't working and I want to end it. That's one path you can go down. Or you can go down a second path. It's like a second doorway. It's like the Matrix, which pill, right? And the second door is to go to them and say, I'm committed to our relationship. I'm committed to learning to be the best partners we can be. I'm committed to learning the things that we don't know about healthy relationships. And I'm committed to kind of just moving past and healing the places that we've hurt each other. Are you open to doing something to learn that? And that's so different. Just the way you can bring it up in a more empowering way, focusing on what you're committed to, as opposed to here's what's wrong with you, here's what's wrong with us. Do you hear how those are two different doorways to go down?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that one is really positive and growth oriented, like you described, where the other one is kind of saying, it's over, it's done, peace out. Bye, Felicia.
Yep.
I like that. I do. One of the things that kept coming up when you were kind of talking about this is, and I know you guys talk about this on your website and in your workshops, is you mentioned values. So how do you incorporate that into your workshops, and what is the value component as it pertains to the relationship?
Yeah, such a great question. I don't think too many couples, especially not in the early phases or dating, say, hey, what are your core values?
It's not a sexy date conversation. You know, it's like, do you like long walks on the beach? And
right. Let me just bust out my Brené Brown book for a second.
Right.
But it is, because it does direct your life together. It directs the decisions you make, just not even from a deeper level where we actually have couples create what their four core values are for the relationship, but just even at a first cut at it, what do we value? Do we value friends and family and community? Do we value safety and security? Do we value like adventure? Do we like, you know, new experiences?
Authentic communication.
Bold conversations, straightforwardness, transparency, trust, easygoing. Essentialism, minimalist, right? So like all these different facets of your life, I don't think too many couples actually dive into like, what type of life do you want to experience? That's kind of what we talk about at, you know, level one of what do you value? Like, what type of life do you want to experience? Because, you know, one might want to stay home and have the traditional family and raise kids. And one might like really be adventurous, want to explore new places. One might not like confronting conversations, although we would encourage everyone to not hold back or rock the boat, but actually going into challenges actually gives you the opportunity to connect even deeper.
I would also add too, I love what you shared, Aaron, and even just kind of zooming out from it for a second. So a lot of our philosophies, which we have many, many of them, but one of them is we take a lot of the principles of what makes a business work into the relationship. Now, we don't mean in a sterile black and white way, because a relationship is emotional, it's dynamic. But if you think about it, a vision or a company which has a goal in mind, it's got team members involved. Well, a couple is a team of two, and they don't often see themselves as a team. And so we thought, okay, how can a team of two, a couple, extract a lot of these principles that work in businesses, like having your core values? Everyone who works for a company, like, you know that everyone who loves to work for Apple knows the values of Apple, or people who love to work for Lululemon know the core values of Lululemon, and that's why they're all bought in. And it also holds them accountable to being those values. So we say, all right, take those principles from why a business works. Same thing with, we have couples create a couple's vision statement, their core values, their goals, their roles and responsibilities, having weekly meetings. Those principles work in a company. Now, you have a romantic relationship, but you're still a team. So taking the time to sit down and design your core values as a couple, like Aaron mentioned, can really kind of keep you accountable and remind you. It's almost like realigning you. Okay, if we're going through a tough season, let's get realigned with our core values as a couple.
I really like when you were talking and you mentioned the romantic piece of things. I think a lot of times, as you described earlier, you're sailing ships kind of passing in the night, or you're calendaring each other, passing each other in the hallway. I hear the term a lot. We're just roommates. How do you keep the romantic component alive when the day-to-day just gets really kind of monotonous?
Yes, great question. Well, so we have a different take on romance. So we see the extra bonus things, like the roses and the date nights and the candles on and the lingerie. We see all that as bonus. And that's important because, you know, that's kind of the juice of life. But really, romance, the foundation of romance from what we find, starts with really having great listening skills. So we find that couples are much more inclined to even enjoy the date. Because if you think about it, you could go out to the most romantic restaurant in the world, heels, hair done, makeup done, be photo shoot ready. But if you're sitting there at dinner and you do not feel connected, you're not listening to each other, you really just feel like roommates, it's not going to feel all that romantic. So for those kind of meaningful experience, we actually get calls from couples on the beach in Fiji, right? Like, they're in this romantic vacation setting and they're disconnected and arguing. Because it's got to be about your communication and listening. So I would say, if you want to feel more romance in your relationship, focus on being a great listener. Focus on being able to have your partner feel understood and for you to feel understood. When that's present, connection, listening, we actually say that true love is experienced through the way you listen to your partner. Love is like the way you listen. Then all of those meaningful things like the date nights, the candles, the lingerie, that will actually feel romantic. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I really like that idea a lot. I've read a couple of books on the topic of, humans as sexual beings. And so I'd be interested to dive in more with you guys on that, maybe on a different episode, because I think there's a lot more there too. One of the things I jotted down, and it's kind of like this popular buzzword that people drop a lot. They say, you know, he's such a narcissist, or she is such a narcissist, or they're so selfish. And so how about working within the context of a relationship when the other person isn't very good at their listening skills or does often make it about them as far as the things that you guys sign up to do and stuff like that?
Well, I'm going to go back to something that we came up with around what a business has that has all the team members be successful. And Jocelyn mentioned it a little bit ago about having a vision statement. And this is what was there for me just to share. When you create your vision statement, what you're doing is creating a statement that, which we do with couples. So if anybody wanted to create theirs, we do a free coaching call to create this vision statement. And it has pieces of what you want to experience, what are the activities. But one of the main things is, what does your relationship represent? Or what is your message that your relationship is here to give or, again, represent? So with this vision statement, you can sort of filter out all these things that feel so personal, that feel I'm not willing to change, or you're trying to get me to be different, everything that you just mentioned. And when you create this vision statement, what you're doing is creating, in essence, an identity that's bigger than the two of you as individuals. So now, rather than here I am in a relationship with Jocelyn, trying to be my most expressive self, you know, I'm trying to be my fullest version, or I don't feel like you're understanding me. See, these are two I's trying to figure out how to be in relationship. But if you can create a new identity, which we say is this entity called your relationship, and create what it's here to represent, now all of a sudden, it's both of you looking at, how do I bring my most authentic self? How do I bring my talents, my gifts, my zones of genius in service of this entity, which takes the personal, takes the significance out of some of these small challenges? Because, you know, here you both are here for something much bigger than yourselves.
Yeah, I also want to add a slightly different take. I love that. I was so passionate about the vision statement. And I'd also add, you know, with terms like my partner is narcissistic or my partner is not open to growing. In fact, one of the most common messages I receive when it's the female partner messaging us, although we've had males even say this, is my partner doesn't want to do anything for our relationship. Why won't they read the books with me? Why won't they go to the workshops with me? They're such a narcissist, right? They're so focused on them and what they want. And a couple things I would say about that. We could dive into a whole world there. But first off, the more you call your partner a certain label, the more they become that. So if you say to your partner, you're such a narcissist, or you call them that, or you say that in your mind, you actually create them being that more. And for example, we actually were on a call, I think just yesterday, and this happens often, where we'll hear the one partner say to the other partner, you're so this, like you're so impatient, or you're so bossy, you're so controlling. And we actually say, remove the labels, because especially when you, imagine if you heard, because think about even kids, if they hear their partner or their parents say some label to them over and over again, they create that identity. And so same thing with your partner. If your partner keeps calling you something, you're going to start to believe it and become it even more. And so Erin and I even did a Facebook Live yesterday talking about, don't label the person like you are this. Instead, label the behavior. Hey, when you do that, it makes me feel like you don't care about my perspective. Hey, when you do that, that hurts my feelings, and here's why. As opposed to just, again, calling them the label over and over again. And yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah. My favorite thing that I share with clients is that needs-based communication, and really, you know, stripping it down and coming at it from a place of when this happens, I feel blank, and using kind of the I feel statements. But I love what you said about removing the labels, and that the more you use a label, the more people become it. I really love that. That's true of all relationships, I think. And I think that's such a great takeaway. So as we're kind of running towards the end of time, one thing that I had still circled here is that when I jotted some notes, I had written, you know, something about like, components to a successful relationship. But what I really love is that you guys use the term highly connected, because, and I struggle with the word successful in a lot of ways, because I feel like there's such a heavy weight with that term success. So I love that you guys are using the term highly connected. I think you said you were going to share one more habit. So the first one you shared was authentic communication. And I really saw authentic communication being creating space for having deeper, more meaningful conversation. What might a second habit be of highly connected people?
Okay, I love this.
Well, just as a reminder, also having that family meeting, like if not once a week, once a month, and going through each of the 8 core areas, labeling your satisfaction and then what your intent or goal is in that area, and actually having that be a space that's safe, that's free to share, and not about pointing fingers, but saying, how can we be even better? So that's also a really good one.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, I love that too, because one of my last questions here is, how do you create space for tough conversations? And I think you answered it with that meeting space.
Absolutely. And block it in your calendar like a doctor's appointment, so it actually happens, right? We often give the time scraps to our partner, just the leftover, which never really happens. So I'd also add... You like that time scrap?
I do. I like that.
It's like, oh, we just give the bare, like, the last 5 minutes we have of the week. I'd also add, I mean, there's so many that we could share, but I would say constantly, or ongoingly, I should say, creating your next goals together. Mm. And the reason why I say that is, you know, we really believe, and I think hundreds of kind of thought leaders have said this, that progress equals happiness, or happiness equals progress. So for us as human beings, we have to ongoingly be progressing some way. And actually what we find is a lot of couples think they've arrived somewhere, like, oh, we got married, we got the dog, the house, we have a sports club we go to, maybe we had a baby, we made it. We're successful. We're happy, right? But then all of a sudden they wake up 2 years in and they actually don't even want to say it out loud because they feel guilty because they got everything that they wanted in life. But to be honest, they feel a little bored. You know, they feel bored with themselves. They feel a little bit bored with their partner, and they wouldn't say it out loud because they're afraid to be that authentic. But that's natural, because without progress, happiness declines.
Well, and how many times in relationships do we set our goals on what society deems to be the next appropriate goal rather than what we might need as a couple or as a family or as a whatever? Maybe we don't need the house. Maybe actually what we need is to travel in a minivan across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
100%. I love that so much. Yeah. And so it's really getting clear, setting goals together. We say, you know, sit down quarterly, at least once a year, even though I just feel like people create their New Year's resolution goals and then don't revisit them. So again, a business would sit down and go, what are our quarterly goals? How do we do last quarter? So we definitely advocate, and that's a lot of our resources. We have different tools and courses online about setting and achieving goals together, because that's another way to feel romance. You want to feel romantic? Set and pursue a goal together and you'll feel that.
Yeah. And this podcast, we don't celebrate New Year's resolutions. We don't make them. We actually celebrate write-off day, which is the last day of the year, where very much like businesses go through and write off the monies they didn't receive. We write off all the things that we didn't achieve.
I love it.
That's nice.
So we celebrate write-off day on this podcast. I feel like the weight of the resolutions is just way too large.
So, yeah, like you said, not even probably yours, probably put out there by somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. I need to lose weight. Do I really want to lose weight? Or, and so the other thing that super piqued my interest, and I'm really, I have an idea on this. I have a theory on this. Which I share with clients and even use in my own relationship. But I'm curious, how do you end an argument quickly? I saw that on your website.
Oh, gosh, so many different tools. I mean, of course, we could come at this from the angle of preventing them before they come. But I would. Oh, Aaron, you want to jump
I'll
in?
Go. Yeah. And it's probably a term that you're more familiar with as well. But I just say active listening. Right. So you actually create that. You each have a role. One be the speaker role, one be the listener role. And you actually just get to share from an eye perspective what your experience is. And then
it's not throwing an orange at the other person.
No. But really, and the reason I share this is because the listener will just be there to repeat back, in a sense, what the experience of the speaker actually is. because when you do that, and you'll both have the opportunity to go, but when the other person feels like you actually heard and understood their experience, I don't know, 90% of the time, it's like, oh, you really got it. And you're like, okay, what's the solution? They're like, actually, that's good enough. And it's happened to me so many times when Jocelyn has just paused and said, okay, you know what? You just share, I'll just listen. And then when Jocelyn repeats back and says, wow, I really hear that you've been experiencing, you know, disappointment or frustration or not being respected. And then she'll say, I'll be like, wow, like you really got it. Like that's actually all that I really wanted in the first place. There's no solution to get to. There's nothing necessarily that we have to do or do in action. It's just all too often as partners, we're just wanting to be understood. And you can really get through arguments so fast when you focus on seeking to understand before being understood.
I absolutely 100% completely agree. My go-to is I hear you. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe I don't agree, but yeah. I hear you. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I do think that is one of the quickest way, besides throwing an orange to get through an argument. Although another thing that I like to share with my couples is that sometimes a code word is in order. I think mm-hmm. sometimes we get into that fight or flight space and we're just not rationally speaking. And that's when a lot of words get slung that are really dirty and yucky. And so sometimes I think a code word, especially if it's a fun code word like goldfish or pineapple or something like that, can really be a lifesaver, especially if you're in a public setting, you know, where maybe it's like, hey, I'm not okay with all, we don't need to do this right here, right now. We don't need to do this in front of the kids. We don't need to do this at the school function. We don't need to do this in the car with mom and dad. Like, we're going to goldfish on this until we can both discuss this in a more healthy, rational way later. I like that too.
So good. One word we actually use is same team. Oh, so just by saying nice. Same team, it's like, you know, like just that. In a millisecond, we're like, oh my gosh, like your whole mind and your whole emotion is like, goes through this process without having to say anything. We are on the same team. This is my lover. This is my wife. This is my teammate. And just in a second by saying same team, you're like, okay. Ooh,
yeah. Oh, I just love that. I think that is like my, there were so many pearls. I bet that is definitely one of my favorites. Oh, I just love that. Well, I know this all ended up being very last minute, but I am so grateful that you guys were able to come on today. And I'm really looking forward to sharing this episode with the world. And I think that there's just so much more dialogue to be had here. But before we go, how can people, and I'll put this in the show notes too, but how can people connect with you?
Well, and thank you so much for having us on here. It's been so fun to connect with you and love the mission that you are out for in your life. And so for those of you who would like to get connected, well, number one, we have our own podcast as well. We go into very specific relationship questions, very modern, applicable things. So it's the Empowered Couples podcast on iTunes. And then if you want to even get more connected than just listening to us on our website, which is meetthefreemans.com. Now you've met the Freemans. Now you can go to meetthefreemans.com. We have everything from free download resources to things if you want to get a little bit closer. We have self-paced courses. We have private coaching on there. So just an abundance of different options depending on, you know, what your goals are in your relationship. So you can go to meetthefreemans.com and explore what we call is Empowered Couples University. So we have a whole university of, like I said, self-paced courses, coaching, different subjects, especially communication is a big one. So we have a couple of resources and courses on communication that couples can do. And everything we do is designed for that busy on-the-go couple that is like, okay, I need modern, applicable things that I can do right now. Like, what can I do right now in our relationship?
Love it.
Yes. And we're always super available on Instagram to respond to messages as well. So excited to connect with you all.
Yes, that's fantastic. And I will put all those things you mentioned into the show notes. And I look forward to just starting our journey together, Freemans.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll stay connected.
Chat soon.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.